Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money because whether or not we like it, money matters. I'm your host, Maya Fisher-French, and today we're talking about getting the best income in retirement. Now, if you're coming up to retirement, you're going to have to start thinking about what to do or how to invest that lump sum in order to provide you with an income for the rest of your life. And this week, I received a really interesting article from the Actuarial Society of South Africa about the opportunity currently offered with guaranteed life annuities, which are offering some of the best rates in 20 years, which is really great news for retirees, especially in this world of inflation that we're living with. So I invited the author of the article, Dean Moore, who is also CEO of the Just Group, which offers retirement solutions. So welcome, Dean. And it was a great article. I found it really interesting. And I think it really highlights some possibly good news for retirees. But let's maybe just start by explaining to the listeners what a guaranteed life annuity is and how it works.
Thanks very much, Maya, that I could join you today. So guaranteed life annuity really takes your pot of money that you have at retirement and turns it into a guaranteed income for life. For as long as you live, you can also add benefits to dependents. You could have a spouse's income for as long as the spouse lives, or you could have a guaranteed period if you've got dependent children and you wanted to cover them as well. You can also you can buy different varieties of it in terms of what the increases would look like, ranging from full inflation linkage to a fixed escalation of around, say, 5 or 6% per annum is what people often look at. Even a level annuity, although we generally discourage people from thinking about that because you do need to allow for inflation going forward. And the one other category being a with-profit annuity, which allows your increases to be linked to a balanced portfolio of assets, and you will get that or an increase linked to that for the rest of your life.
And I think it's important for people to understand, Dean, and I see that sometimes people get confused with this. You actually purchase effectively an insurance policy. So there's no lump sum involved in this. You take the money, you hand it to an insurance company who in exchange for that gives you a promise to pay you an income for the rest of your life. That it's effectively an insurance policy.
Yes, absolutely. And so people sometimes think, but what happens to my money? What happens if I die soon? That's a very valid concern. One should also balance that with what happens if I live to 100. so yes, it's an insurance, and one can think about it. If I had to say to you, there's this fantastic community of people that have decided that when they get to retirement, they're going to draw up a budget for how much they need to live on, and they're going to pool enough money in that budget that would pay all of them for as long as they lived. And then on the side, they would keep their own personal savings and any extra money for that. That would sound like a fantastic idea. And it's been around for about 100 years or so. It's called insurance, and that's called buying a life annuity.
Yeah, I think that's important because people need to understand that there's obviously if you pass away younger than expected, your money remains in the pool and subsidizes somebody who lives longer than expected. But you could be the person who lives longer than expected. So, you know, if you're living up till 90, you're kind of benefiting from that pooled approach. I think it is important to understand that is how insurance works. It is a pooled approach. And that is how we can offset sometimes those risks of longevity, which we experience. And I think it is also important, Dean, just to highlight that it does die with you, unless you've insured your spouse, and we can talk about that a little bit later. So that's basically your life annuity, and it's linked to the amount that you get is linked to current interest rates, which is what you were writing about. You were saying this is the highest rates we have seen in annuities in 20 years. So maybe just you had a great chart, which I'm busy looking at now, which was in the impact of, for example, of a 60-year-old female. Just run through it. Like, what is how much better off is someone buying an annuity today than they were perhaps in 2018?
So the first important thing to realize is that annuity rates are driven by long-term interest rates. So the interest rate you see quoted in the newspaper is normally the mortgage rate, the prime rate. And so people follow that, but actually the long-term interest rates reflect sort of future inflationary expectations. And at the moment, those are the highest they've been since 2002. So when we look at the annuity rate that you will get for males aged 60, as an example, that's increased by 33% since, in fact, March 2020 when COVID hit. So at age 60, that rate's gone up from 6.9% to 9.2%. And for a female aged 60, even more, it's gone up 43% from 6% to 8.6%. So turning that into rands, somebody with 1 million rand to invest, female age 60 would get 86,000 rands per annum. Male age 60, about 92,000 rands per annum.
I just want to take that back. So she would have got a woman would get 86,000 rand a year per million that she bought with the annuity with. She'd get 86,000 versus what 60,000 that she would have got in 2018. So I mean that's 26,000 rand more a year that you are able to lock in. And remember, this is locked in. Once you've bought this, this is for life. That's the rate you're going to get for life.
Yes, in fact, I should have qualified that as well to say that the rate I'm quoting here is one that would increase at 5% per annum for the rest of her life, and is guaranteed to be paid for at least 10 years, no matter what happens in that period.
So basically, she's guaranteed to get 86,000 rand a year, increasing by 5% every single year for the rest of her life. Had she have taken out this annuity in 2018, she would only have got 60,000, in comparison. But I think this is the window of opportunity you really are talking about here. I just want to quickly go back to the fact that you told me that a man would get 90,000. This doesn't sound fair. Is this gender discrimination at play?
I know it doesn't sound fair. It's priced purely off life expectancies. And maybe it's unfair as well. Women would live on average about 4 years longer than men. So in fact, it's exactly identical value for money. It's just that on average, we would expect to be paying a woman for 4 years longer than we would pay a man.
So, Dean, this is one of my bugbears, of course, is that most women enter retirement with less money than men, due to being caregivers, a time out the workforce, not earning as much, and then they go and don't even get as good a rates as men in retirement. So, anyway, that's maybe a different discussion. But I want to go back. So we're looking now at a man getting 90,000, a woman getting 86,000 rand a year. Let's compare this to living annuity. So you've got your life annuity, which you've explained. It's an insurance product where you get paid every month a guaranteed amount for the rest of your life, rising at 5% in this case. Then your other option is, and it's the more popular one, it's the most sold one, is what we call living annuities, which is where your investment is actually it's linked to an investment portfolio. So maybe just briefly explain what a living annuity is, and then let's see how that compares to a living annuity at the moment.
So a living annuity sounds very simple because you take your retirement pot of money, you can invest it as you like with the help of an advisor, and you can draw whatever you like from it.
Well, within limits, I think you can draw between 2.5% to what is it, 17.5%? Is that what it
Yeah,
currently
that's
looks
right.
like? Yeah.
So
The
between two and
annual.
a half and 17.5%. In fact, it is the most complicated problem to be given that here at retirement, you've got a pot of money you can draw with quite a lot of discretion around it, but you need to make it last for as long as you live. Otherwise, you will suffer the indignity of having to effectively beg from your children or beg from the state to be able to survive. So we have help. Generally, if you go onto Google, you will see advice of drawing somewhere between 4 and 5% per annum. I think in the current inflationary environment, people would be pointing you more towards 4% per annum, and particularly for the female who's going to live for a few years longer. And the reason for that is there is a 10% chance that a male will live to age 95 and a female will live to age 100. So the poets, I forget who it is, but the poem that was written, "No man is an island entire to himself," or "No person is an island," that should apply in financial planning as well. If you try to do everything on your own balance sheet, not looking anywhere else, you have to make that money stretch to 95 or 100.
So you've got to cover the 10% chance that you live till then.
Yes, because you,
even if,
you
yeah, don't want to be one of the 10%, you could get there. Absolutely, yeah.
Yes, and you don't want to be one of the lucky 10% to get there, but then doesn't have any money. And where that's different with a life annuity is that the insurer will pool all of those people, thousands of people. And so when the insurer prices, we price for, on average, males will live to age 83, females will live to age 87. So when we have to make our sums work across the thousands of people that are in the pool, it will work, provided we price to 83 or 87 for everyone. And so when you take that and you drop it into a financial planning spreadsheet, you would get our income, and that continues for life. So if you live beyond 83 or 87, you just keep that income rolling in your financial planning. Whereas if you're trying to do it yourself, you've got to make your money stretch for about 12 years longer. So when an insurer is pricing for 20 years and you're pricing for 30 or 32 in a living annuity, you can see that you just can't get an investment return which would give you that sort of money to make you last that long.
But Dean, even if you're working on a 5% drawdown, which is kind of the recommended drawdown, you've got R1 million, you're drawing down 5% per annum. That means you're drawing down 50,000 a year. So, yes. You know, you can just see the difference. So if somebody's coming to retirement, and no one has enough money when they get to retirement, I mean, only about 6% of people, and even those I think are probably just squeezing in. And you've got an option of saying, you can have this living annuity and you can get 50,000 a year in order to draw down 5% so it's sustainable. Or you can take this life annuity that's going to grow, that's going to give you 86,000, I'm talking about a woman here, or 90,000 for a man, guaranteed for the rest of your life, increasing at inflation. You can, or 5% in this case, you can kind of see that why this is starting to become really, really important to consider.
Yes. Yes. And I think if you take that to the next stage, instead of making this an all or nothing decision one way or the other, if you start thinking of your retirement in two pots, and I say one pot has to cover me for the rest of my life, and that has to cover my food, accommodation, transport, medical, and utility bills. And I've put enough money into that pot to cover that. Then the rest of my money that I have is managed for growth, discretionary spend. I can leave that as a legacy to children one day. And I can manage my life in two separate pots. The cheapest way to fund the first pot, your essential expenses for life, is through the life annuity for exactly the reasons we've discussed, that you're into this community. If you're the one that lives longer, effectively you inheriting from others in that community, and that's what keeps your income going for the rest of your life. And then the other pot you can really manage for getting as much growth as possible.
It's actually interesting. My mom has a very similar situation. So she got my father's pension, which is a defined benefit pension, those old fashioned things that everybody chucked out, but actually are brilliant because it means that she gets an income for the rest of her life, increasing at inflation. And then she has a share portfolio. It's not a living annuity, but is a little share portfolio, which she uses to supplement for the extras. And in that balance, you know, she knows exactly what you know, what she will get for the rest of her life guaranteed, and then she can supplement accordingly. So I think that kind of strategy can work really well, and maybe I think there can be a sort of a blended approach. But I'm just thinking about people listening. I mean, obviously, it's kind of, to me, you've got an opportunity of a lifetime to lock in rates right now. So if you're retiring now, a life annuity is something really, really, really seriously, you know, you should be considering. But what about somebody who's listening and said, you know what, I've really bought this living annuity. I've got an investment-linked living annuity. I'm 5, 6 years down retirement. How can I benefit? Can I still go and buy one of these life annuities?
Yes, and absolutely you can. And if we reflect on who might be listening out there, so we've done a survey across a large part of the living annuity market. One third of people with living annuities are drawing at a level that they can sustain for the rest of their life. So it'll be around the 4 or 5% if they're in their 60s. It goes up to sort of 7% in the high 70s, maybe 8% in mid 80s. But two thirds of people are drawing more than that. And the interesting thing is that of that, half of those people, so one third of everybody that has living annuities is drawing at a rate that they won't be able to sustain themselves in the living annuity, but it's a rate that's less than the life annuity rate that they could go out and purchase today. And those are the people we really have a heart to reach at the moment, because there is this window of opportunity. If inflationary expectations start to come down again, the long-term rates might come down, the annuity rates will come down. And now is a time where they can actually lock in that income guaranteed for life. They can have that peace of mind. And there's two ways they can do. There is the full switch from a living annuity to a life annuity. But in a number of living annuities that are out there, there is an option for a hybrid where you can invest part of your living annuity into the life annuity, which effectively gives you that income into your portfolio, and you can then draw either at the life annuity rate or a lower rate if you choose.
I mean, I think that's very, very interesting. So someone could go and say to their financial planner, I want to take a portion of this living annuity and I want to buy in. Basically, you know, to keep it simple, it's like a fixed deposit. You know, right now the fixed deposits are offering unbelievably good rates. And you're saying, right, I'm going to put my money into this fixed deposit now, except this fixed deposit's for life. You know, I'm going to get this rate for life. If I wait, next year we're expecting rates to start coming down again, interest rates to come down again. So obviously, you know, rates will be lower, and you will have missed. Exactly, missed the opportunity that you have right now. But Dean, one of the big things I find, and this is a big pushback I get from people when you talk about life annuities, is they're saying, but I want to be able to leave an inheritance to my children. And if I buy a life annuity, remember it dies with me, maybe I can insure my spouse gets the annuity as well, but I can't leave anything to my children. So how does one, is there a way to provide for both? Like, is there a way to give yourself a guaranteed annuity and leave an inheritance?
So firstly, if we deal with the way people are thinking at retirement, when you do the projections and you look at how much people would be leaving to their children, yes, if they die of an accident within the first 10 years of retirement, they might be leaving a substantial amount to their children. Once they get beyond that, the amount that they're leaving to their children, especially if they're drawing above the sort of 4 to 5% rate we're talking about, actually drops away very quickly. And when people say that about a life annuity, that I can't leave something, that is, it's completely wrong, because what you have in a life annuity is an income legacy instead of a capital legacy. So in the living annuity, you die, you leave the remaining capital to your beneficiaries. In the life annuity, you can structure it to say, when I die, I want the same level of income, or I choose a level of income that I want to continue to my spouse for the rest of the spouse's life. So that's also a legacy. It's an income legacy, and in fact, it's very targeted, because you can be very clear around maintaining the lifestyle that your income has been supporting for you and your spouse. The spouse will be able to maintain that lifestyle for the rest of their life. And if there's dependents, you can add this guaranteed payment period, that there'll be an extra amount that pays for, say, a 10-year period to cover them while they're studying, for example.
I think that's important to note as well, is that you can have a guaranteed period. So you say that, you know, that the income will be continued for up to 10 years after retirement. Even if I pass away, my beneficiaries will receive that income up to 10 years. So I think it all affects the cost of what you're going to receive in annuities. But these are many of the things that you can. So a lot of financial planning can go around this to make sure that you are meeting all of your requirements. But I must just say, make one comment, Dean. I get a little bit frustrated that that's what parents worry about, leaving money to their kids when they actually don't have enough money for retirement. And that's actually the bottom line. I never see people who come in with enough money to retire in the first place. And I suggest to you that the best gift you can give your child is not to be dependent on them in your old age. That's the legacy you want to leave. And therefore, making the right choices and decisions about the income that you can earn for the rest of your retirement life is a better decision than worrying about leaving your child a lump sum. So my little bugbear there. But Dean, I just wanted to comment also and ask you, because I know this is very quite close to your heart with Just, but a lot of people also go into retirement and they're not well. They may have chronic illnesses like diabetes or cholesterol, and their longevity is not going to be 85 years old. Their life expectancy is much lower. Now they're going to say, well, you know, again, maybe I'm better off in a living annuity.
So at Just, we do provide underwriting, and that works exactly the opposite of everything you know about underwriting for life insurance. So, and in fact, that's one of my bugbears, that up to the age of retirement, an insurer will look at will do underwriting and decide if you're an extra risk, and therefore put some sort of terms and conditions or limit the amount of cover they're prepared to give. And then you reach retirement, and overnight, magically, you become a standard risk, just like everybody else. So we continue to underwrite at the point of retirement, because if you have a shorter life expectancy and we're paying you an income for the rest of your life, then you should get a higher income. So we do that underwriting. It's based on socioeconomic characteristics, as well as risks in lifestyle and then medical factors. Typically a 10 to 15 minute telephone call, because we can get enough information from that telephone call to do the assessment. It's a very friendly telephone call, and we're really looking to provide the best income that we can to somebody in retirement.
And just, I mean, I know maybe I'm putting you on the spot here, but what kind of example? So you were saying that a woman at 60 retiring with a million would be getting about 86,000. If she, for example, has a chronic illness that reduces her longevity, what kind of percentage could she expect to get? How much more could she be expected to get? What kind of range would she be looking at?
So think of things as being like a pyramid. And I don't want to point at the most extreme examples. So let's say for things like hypertension, high blood pressure,
Diabetes would
things
probably
like
be.
that. The uplift could be maybe sort of an extra 5% in income, say, or around, say, 3 to 5%. When you get into the more serious conditions, particularly if it's cancer, and depending on what stage of cancer, it can be quite significant. It could be up to 20% uplift in the starting income. So, but it's always worth going through the exercise. And in fact, particularly on our with-profit annuities, what we would typically do is, if somebody asked us a quote, we would issue a quote and guarantee it based on no underwriting information at that point. We would then do the underwriting exercise, and either we would honor the original quote, or we would improve it if we were able to, based on the information that's provided. So it makes it quite a painless exercise. And there's no bloods, no needles.
Okay. That's a good thing to know. So, Dean, what about somebody who maybe has cash outside of their retirement fund? So maybe they're living in a big house, they're now downsizing, they're selling, they get a little bit of cash injection. Can they go and purchase a life annuity, or does it have to be part of a retirement funding?
No, absolutely. You can buy a voluntary purchase annuity, it's called, with discretionary savings of some kind. So, and in fact, that's a really good use case because often people, when they get to their 70s, will think about downsizing. So they release some capital from their property and move into some sort of retirement village. That's got interesting benefits because you get the same type of annuity rates, but from a tax perspective, most of that income that's paid in the initial years, especially, is considered to be return on of capital. And then as the annuity grows, as the income grows over time, the portion above that starts to become taxable. But that's also the time at which you get you get higher rebates. So I think in most cases, probably around 80 to 90% of the income that you get would be considered to be return of capital and therefore tax-free. And so to take that pot that's released from the sale of the house and turn it into a guaranteed income for life, which is most of it tax-free, is a great investment option at that time.
Wow, I didn't realize that. So I didn't understand. So obviously within a life annuity retirement product structure, the first rand would be considered income
Yes.
because you got the tax break up front. But if you take it as a voluntary annuity with funds, discretionary funds, that would be a lot more tax efficient. I actually did not know that. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah, and that's also an interesting play at retirement itself. People will always take their tax-free lump sum, and that could also be used in a tax-efficient way to buy a guaranteed income for life with a voluntary purchase annuity.
Great. From just more additional, so I mean, definitely something to. I think you've given a lot of information here that people can use to go and have these discussions with their financial planners.
Great.
So, Dean, if you know, we've spoken about annuity rates of a 60-year-old. So that's assuming somebody entering retirement. But now we've spoken about people who've been maybe they have a living annuity, but they are now 70 years old. How would the rates differ for somebody who's 70 wanting to buy into a guaranteed life annuity? What kind of rates are they getting?
So the rates do increase with age because the annuity is paid over a shorter period of time. So the move from a 60-year-old to a 70-year-old adds probably about 2% to the starting income. So if we said a female aged 60 was going to get 8.6%, probably be about 10.5% for a female aged 70. So instead of 86,000, would be about 105,000. And similarly for a male, then at 9.2% would go up to probably around 11%. So yeah, it's a great opportunity for them.
Absolutely. And I think an important thing about understanding how age also influences it. So if you're sitting at 70, you can lock in at what, 11%. I mean, that's for life. Increasing at inflation, well, increasing at 5%, that's the rate that you were quoting. So yeah, really
Yes.
interesting. Well, Dean, I think thank you very much. That was really, really interesting. And I just hope that people are listening and really consider this, because I do feel it is just one of those opportunities. And it's so great to be able to, in a time where everyone's facing so much financial stress, and you know, the cost of living and all these things is really mounting, and retirees, you know, are facing quite, you know, severe sort of impact on their lifestyle. And there's actually an opportunity here. There is an opportunity to use these high interest rates to lock in, to make sure that you know, that you can improve your retirement outcome. So thanks, Dean. I think very, very interesting.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity, Maya.